jurisdiction of the chair of Lamont. Okay, that was right. And the vice chair, even though we had vice chairs, they weren't really, they were kind of more in name only. I mean, they were more, you know, in other words, the vice chair's role was mainly to preside over meetings in the absence of the chair, but the chair pretty much ran the rack the way they wanted to, with little or no input. And the, you know, and so I think one year we had a person who a lot of us had difficulty with, you know, kind of her, because she, I would say at almost every meeting she banged the gavel, okay? And so we got together a governance working group and made changes, and the major changes were that the officers could be run for more than one term, that the jurisdiction of the chair did not matter in relating to the WMATA board, and that the vice chairs got more teeth in their roles. In other words, they were considered part of the leadership team and, you know, had more input into making decisions at the leadership level. So those were the changes that were basically made. And it's interesting because the only reason we got them approved was that the chair of the WMATA board, who was from Prince George's County, insisted that we have a chair who was from Prince George's County for his year, and then he said he would sign off on our changes after that. So I remember that.
Wow.
Well, so they had been changed, you know, okay, at least once.
Right, and I think that's a good segue into, we need dates on here, or we should have dates on here when these bylaws were initially approved and revised. I think that would be helpful. That would be helpful for people that, new people that come on board.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That was your first comment, that we do definitely need to have dates on it.
Mm-hmm. So I received two comments by email on the bylaws, from Catherine Cordham and Ben Ball, and I'll just go over them really quickly. Catherine's comments were more questions.
Catherine from Fairfax County?
From Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Right, I'm not sure which county, but she's a Maryland representative.
Okay.
But her comments were more questions. For example, there was a section here that talks about in the absence or inability of the chair to serve for purposes of succession, the individual next in line shall be the vice chair from the corresponding jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she was fine with that, but she wanted to know if it's possible that these three WMATA positions could be from the same jurisdiction. Or do the bylaws ensure that the vice chairs, in the absence of the chair, are from different jurisdictions?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, because this is sort of a holdover from when it all rolled like that. In other words, in the WMATA Board of Directors, mm-hmm. you have the chair,
first vice chair,
and second vice chair. Is it in the compact or rules or procedures that they must be from three different jurisdictions?
No.
Then, as usual, Catherine's picked up on a very good thing, because let's say, okay, I think we ought to deal with that. I had addressed it from a different angle, but I mm-hmm. think she's got a good point. Maybe we should just do the person with the, in terms of tenure.
Well, yeah, I mean, or you could do a lot of things with the same jurisdiction. Oh, I see.
In other words, if the WMATA board were, if the chair, vice chair, and then you have a federal people too, so that doesn't mm-hmm. really consider that. But in other words, if the chair, first vice chair, and second vice chair were all from the same jurisdiction.
I could just tell you that the way it works, that the board is the governance committee submits nominations for the executive team.
Right.
And that's how they vote on it. So if that were the case, the entire board would have to vote and be okay with that. It could be anybody.
No, no, but what I'm saying is that if, but there's nothing that legally precludes.
Correct.
I mean, I know what you're saying. It's a common sense thing. They're not going to vote in of an executive committee of all one jurisdiction. But if that is the case, but theoretically that's the case, it could be the case.
Mm-hmm. So, that means, for instance, that if you were to go away,
a trolley truck,
it would be
yes.
Candace.
Yes.
Candace would be the chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Tom Downs is from D.C.
No. Oh, I misunderstood. Oh, I thought it meant the same as you. Okay, got it. Yeah, I misread it. Okay.
Right, she's referencing Article 5B.
Oh, right. So, reading this, it would be like if something happened to me, then Candace would be the vice chair, would be the chair, because she's from D.C. as is Tom Downs. And then, gee, this is a very strange. Okay, then who's the first vice chair, Lloyd?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Morehound.
And he's federal, right? See, so then we already have a problem.
Yeah, we have no federal.
Right.
And well, then he's from Virginia, if that makes sense.
Oh, well.
Well, I see now. I think that's too. Contrived. We need to have something better than that.
I do too, and I think that having it come from any specific jurisdiction as somebody else, whether it was what I thought and what it really was, or having it by tenure, is not necessarily. I mean, you got to have somebody that wants it too.
While we're on this point, if you don't mind, I had marked it up and said until when, because it's in the absence of inability of the chair. What do they mean? I mean, are you talking about for one meeting? Are we talking about? Okay.
Right.
So then I went down and saw.
Until the next scheduled meeting of the
RAC. Until the next scheduled meeting of the RAC. So basically.
I missed that.
Well, if you look at. Where is this?
I thought that's when there was a placement or something, not when there was.
Somewhere, and it's in a peculiar place.
I miss where it is. In a peculiar place.
Oh, here it is. It's right on that same page.
It is.
Mm-hmm. C2, vacancy. A vacancy in any office shall be filled by a special election held by the council at the meeting next following the announcement of the vacancy and shall be for the unexpired term. So my take on that would be if it's one meeting, let's say if it's for one meeting, I guess if this is for all of them. Okay, so in other words, this situation could only exist for one meeting.
It sure doesn't say that, does it?
But it, a vacancy, think about it. Okay, if and this has really kind of happened, but I don't want to get off on the wrong. Okay, this has happened because Kelsey Brackmore did not opt to be reappointed. She stepped down, and at the first meeting of the new year, we didn't have a chair because the chair is supposed to fill that position. Yeah, what is that from?
Is that the board?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's from the bylaws. So,
what does that say? Because that may help.
That's our bylaws or their bylaws?
Their
bylaws. The board annually elects a chair, a first vice chair, and a second vice chair. The election is held at the January board meeting each year. These officers shall be elected without regard to jurisdiction of residence or representation.
See, there's a whole different
specifically.
Right. So it seems to me, that we should not
And these bylaws have been revised, you know, the last 3 years
right,
to reflect that change, and yours have not captured that.
Okay.
So if we wanted to do the same,
well, see, we have no structure. No, yeah. We have a different structure. I mean, the chair is the only office that's not, I mean, that's the change that we made in the bylaws. We said the chair can be elected without regard to jurisdiction, and that's when we decided we'd have three vice chairs, because then you know you're going to have representation at the vice chair level for each of the three jurisdictions, regardless of what the chair. What if you did tenure, and the only thing that I could see there would be if people were appointed at the same time?
Which is entirely possible.
Which is entirely possible.
Tenure on the council or tenure on the leadership team?
No, I was thinking about, well, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking.
I'm not expressing a preference, I just clarifying.
What do you think? Maybe that should be one of those questions that we throw to the general council.
I don't think we need to open it to all of them about what's going to happen if the sheriff steps down. I think that's just more remote and not.
But I think you have to have it. It has to be covered. You have to make a statement in there.
No, but I'm just saying. I mean, could that just be part of their overall approval of the bylaws that we put in front of them, as opposed to singling out that?
Oh, right. No. What? I mean, that's what you know. My thought was, there's certain things that we want. We have the language. I would assume that there's certain things we have language for, and we know what we want to say. Mm-hmm. And then there may be certain things that we are unsure of what and are sort of going to them for advice. But maybe you have a different idea.
No, I don't. Not at all.
And this would be to address this paragraph about the vice chair, the second vice chair.
Right. Just so it's clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this totally makes sense.
Yes, it may be exactly.
It mirrored their representation.
Maybe we'll come back to it when we have more.
Right.
Maybe somebody else will have some thoughts. You didn't get anything from Frank, because he was one who was real interested. I meant to call him.
No, just Ben and Catherine. Those were the only two.
What were Catherine's other?
Her other comment had to do with the hiring process. She wanted to know if the RAC was involved in the hiring process. So I told her that, I believe our first or second meeting, we voted for a hiring committee. So that one I think we've addressed. At least I believe our bylaws say that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But so.
Like maybe she missed that meeting. Mm-hmm. And Ben had really good comments, too. His comments, let's see. So it's part 3A of the bylaws. And it has to do with the hiring of the RAC coordinator.
What did you say, 3C?
3A, I think.
3A.
Does it have to do with the hiring of the RAC coordinator or the hiring of the appointment of RAC members? I think it has to do with the appointment of RAC members. Because that's what this is about. 3A.
Oh, you're right. It is the RAC membership. He just felt, and I'll summarize it, that the RAC leadership team should have some buy-in in that process. Because at this point, there's no buy-in at all.
And the selection of the members that are appointed by the board?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's expressed that in the past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This came up last year. The reason it didn't go forward is I don't think anybody who was on the leadership team agreed with him last year. But I mean, he wasn't a big, you know, it wasn't like a big food fight or anything like that, but I think that I know. Well, let me just speak to my situation now. I don't think that I don't see us as advising our appointing authority they should appoint,
especially when you're up for renewal for reappointment and you're on that committee. Like, if you're going to recommend your appointment to your appointing authority.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess I look at it like this, that the WMATA board, probably has a good idea or something. Collectively, they have an idea of what kind of people they want on, what they're looking for. And I don't see that a leadership team, it's almost like a competent, we would be in the same pool. We would be in the same pool. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to get somebody who wears head wraps, you know? I like that person. I mean, what criteria would I use? Because each, you know.
I think no head wraps. I'm sorry. I'm being dismissive.
I really think it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah. I think that, I've been told one of my least endearing qualities is the ability to see both sides in an argument. And I think where Ben is coming from is that even though we are, I didn't know originally I was appointed by anything to do with the board, because I thought it was John and somebody else, and I thought it was Kelsey, but I'm told it probably wasn't. I just didn't know who the person was. Anyway, maybe it was you.
I think it
was. Was it? Okay. But I didn't know. And I think people come on board thinking they're going to be the spokesperson for the writers and fighting the writers' fight and to make WMATA better. And they look at it and say, you're going to have them appoint me? I mean, won't they appoint people that tell them what they want to hear? I mean, I don't have that point of view, you know, being where I'm looking where I'm from. But I think that is a widely held point of view, that you're letting them pick the people who are going to speak for the writers, rather than have people who also know what the Writers' Council does and how we do it, and it's very close to that, having success. I don't think they mean that the draft should make the ultimate say, but that they should be contributors. That's kind of like contributors to the John's replacement.
And his point was, he felt that the staff chooses the voices they want to hear.
Yeah.
So, and it's a conflict of interest. I think it would be nice to explain to Ben and the rest of the council what the conflict is. Because I agree with them to a degree. I think that we should elaborate a little bit on that process.
And I really feel strong. Well, obviously there's a commitment, but here's the thing that I think. I think that we have a stronger rap this year than we've had in the past. And I'd like to think that it was due to the fact that the criteria for selection were tightened up and that we as a leadership team did have input into.
Right.
You know, in other words, I think, you know, one of the things that I was arguing for was let people know that their obligations are more than once a month show up and give their personal opinions about the JA. So I think we had, I think we had input into the criteria that was used to screen candidates. And to me, that was fine, but I just don't see myself sitting in judgment of a replacement for myself or even a colleague for myself. I mean, that's just,
And again, when your own appointments come on.
I do think that we should have input into the criteria for screening or something like that. I think we should be allowed to, you know, to definitely do that.
Is that something we want to propose that we add to the bylaws, that we provide input?
But I mean, I think you need to bring it up. I mean, there may be more people who feel as say Barbara and Ben do and you do. I mean, I'm definitely in the minority here.
I was giving that point of view.
The reason I'm laughing is that Barbara said, I asked Barbara a question or something, and she gave me this very detailed answer, and then she started, what's the name of the person?
Oh, Pollyanna.
Pollyanna.
Yeah, well.
But obviously, if there's feeling on the board or on the council among RAC members that this should be the case, I think it should be brought up on both sides of present their point of view. But I think at the very least, we should suggest that that RAC members should be invited to provide input into the selection criteria or process or something like that. Mm-hmm. But not, it's to me the process, but not the people.
Okay.
But maybe you could do two mm-hmm. two statements and then see where people...
Right, and add the conflict of interest language to it, that it presents a conflict of interest.
What presents? How did you get that part?
Well, that's what Loida just said.
Because I can see it. See, I think it could be conflict of interest if we did it.
Right,
you're right. But I also thought that Ben had said something in his thing. Mm-hmm. He thought that having the staff do it was a conflict of interest.
Right. But you know what? You can get around the conflict of interest by saying that no one providing input would be somebody up for reappointment.
Right, I was thinking that too.
You know, 2/3 of the people aren't up for reappointment every year. You can always have somebody have input. I agree that we shouldn't, rally for our own reappointments.
I think at this point, maybe we ought to have the three, summarize the point, maybe mm-hmm. summarize the possible language and summarize the rationale of the possible language.
Right.
Because my take on the board is, I guess there could be a situation where they could be embarrassed by an appointee. If they pick somebody who later on, who did something really, off the top of my head, can't think of anything. But, they could, so I would imagine they exercise some degree of care. I don't think they just sign off on what's put in front of them, but mm-hmm. I don't, And I think an example of that is that they evidently did not pick, they didn't fill the final position in Maryland because they were looking for somebody from a different part of the county.
That's right.
That's right. So I think they are aware of, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
But they're certainly aware and they're part of the process at every step. Mm-hmm. It's not really done. In fact, Mary Hines in Virginia did all of the interviews.
Right.
Me.
Right, that's right.
Mary and she appointed the people.
Right. See, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I think some board members are more interested than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's
interesting. And we've had other board members participate in the phone interview also. We've also had, there are other members who have had us do the initial screen, and then they talk to the top three candidates, two candidates, and that, and then they think who they want. There are others which we present the recommendations and give them all the resumes and the information, and from there they make that decision. We're not making that decision is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We do all the process, we support and we provide for all of the logistics, but ultimately they appoint.
So let's say, as a result of that activity, let's say you give them X number of candidates for each appointment, and they look through those and they either appoint them or they might say, well, I'd like to look at some more people or whatever.
In fact, it was a little bit different also with Bob Fogle, who did that appointing. He was a direct appointment from the board. Board member came and said, I want to appoint this person, and he was just appointed. So, I don't know if Ben or other people understand what the process is, but it's not drawing on making selections.
I don't think he thought it was the two of you. I think he understood it was the board.
But if you can you
I think the thing is, and I think based on some things that we said and stuff like that, I think he mm-hmm. thought that Loida and John,
yeah.
I mean, to be frank, oh, I think he yeah. thought that Loida and John
that
were exercised. It was sort of like,
oh, I thought
you all.
The board.
Oh,
right.
No. That's no. why he wants the input.
No, he's saying okay. Loida and John are, in effect, picking the rat people.
I didn't get that. Okay.
I had a question. What is the conflict of interest example?
What's the conflict of interest?
Conflict of interest example.
Oh, if you're up for appointment and you're recommended to the board and they appoint you, that's direct conflict of interest because you would presumably recommend that they appoint you for that reappointment. When you're directly involved in the recommendation.
You mean if I'm already with the transportation?
Yeah.
Or have an
so
investment
when you,
with a matter that I feel like the city at the rack
Well, that's also conflict of interest, too, but that's a different one.
Right.
That's conflict of interest, too. It's just another example.
But I also think, here's, I think, a good example. At least this time, I took the conflict of interest. Let's say that, as did happen with the fare increases, let's say I'm very much for getting rid of the surcharge, okay? So I know about three or four people, and I urge them to just have the same position, and I urge them to apply for the RAC, and I'm going to use my position on the RAC to influence trying to push their appointments. I mean, that's what I thought. That's the kind of direct, in this instance, direct conflict of interest. And I'm going to pick, I'm going to weigh in favor of people that I think are going to represent my position.
I'm going to pick blue line people, despite the blue line.
Right, and I'm going to pick red line people, or I'm going to pick people my, I think that's...
I also think that would put the board in a difficult position, because if they didn't agree with your appointment, that would be a very, I don't know, it would put them in a very awkward position to have to deny a recommendation from their advisory body. If there were eight blue line
Well, it's really interesting, and I don't know if we have, I started looking at, I think I looked at the bylaws for the New York transit system. I think it was New York, and it was either New York or Boston transit system for, you know, advisory council. And they actually have somebody who's like an advisory council member that sits on a board with the equivalent of the board of directors, which I thought was interesting. You know, so it really wasn't germane. But anyway.
They also have labor union people.
Right.
Who sit on boards in transit agencies.
My thinking is that if to summarize each, you know, it seems like we have about two or three positions, and maybe to summarize and the rationale, the pro and the con, and then have discussion at the RAC. Now,
can I just add that you also should take into consideration the AAC appointments, that they're not directly involved, because if this came up as part of the RAC, you may also.
And there's having attended and sort of hung out with those folks, you know, just for a few meetings, there's definitely politicking involved behind the scenes with that. You know, it's very interesting. I think the fair thing to do is to just present the various points of view in writing and then let people discuss it. And I'll just say this, and it doesn't mean that I think we shouldn't do it if the majority wants to move it forward. My take on this general counsel is she would strike it down, you know, because I think she's very she's very fact-based in her dealings with paper and resolutions, and I think that she would basically, you know, question it on the grounds that there's no legal basis or, I don't know, but that may be surprising, but I'm just speculating.
Okay. But those were the only two comments that I received by email, so I think we can just jump in and go line by line or section by section.
Yeah. I have
section by section. Me too.
You're seconding that motion.
I said, article by article.
Exactly.
Step by step. Okay. How do you want to go?
I guess we'll go section by section and by each person. So we'll start with the name. And this is really a question where the bylaws say that the Writers Advisory Council may be referred to as the Writers Council. And when I first read that, it was just confusing to me, and I wondered why we use that term instead of just saying RAC.
Right, and that's what I did.
Carol, do you remember this?
No.
So a while back, 5 years ago, when these were revised, the council...
So this day, another name for RAC, maybe with the right
I think it's also a term that was used throughout the document.
But I don't know the word. Language to be changed. I don't know if it changed wording.
So the word that was there before was RAC, and the council did not like to be referred to as RAC.
No.
Because that was not feel was appropriate for the council. I don't know if you ever noticed that I don't call you guys RAC. because it was something that they did not want the staff or in any writing to be called. So we specifically changed all the RAC mm-hmm. references to Writers Council.
But now, nobody uses that now.
And yes. I would have missed you.
Yeah,
it's gives us a little more authority than we have.
Well, I basically went through and decided wherever it says this, I said maybe refer to it as the Writers Advisory Council or RAC, and I changed that throughout the language.
Or the council.
I thought about the council, and I guess we could do that either one, mm-hmm. but not Writers Council
right.
because we never use that, and most people seem to this. The time used the RAC, but it shouldn't be Writers Council because nobody ever uses that. It should either be the RAC or the council.
It should be whatever you guys want.
I don't know. I think people say that.
I've never heard anybody say Writers Council without saying Writers Advisory Council or RAC. But I think it should be council or RAC, and I don't care which one.
What do you want to do?
Either or, I just think Writers Council implies something completely different than what we are.
I think you're right. See, I like the idea of advisory council.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, that's why
that's
I like
what we do.
I like the RAC because it's an acronym for Writers Advisory Council.
Right.
I would not drop out advisory. So I would use RAC, you know, or a lot of cases you could use both. You could use council and RAC, but not Writers Council. So what are we going to do?
You could propose, I guess, all two or three.
No, I think with something like this, you're going to get bogged down. And I would make a decision.
Yep.
And go with one, and then if somebody wants to bring something back.
Yeah, because the other thing was, because it said RAC, do you remember that, was it Diane? Who was the chair before Kelsey? And when then, I can't remember.
That was when that Frankie Bernardo?
But then before.
Diana.
So Diana always made a point to call the group RAC.
Oh, yeah.
If so, do you want
I've
to
kind of
say RAC,
her
RAC which would be R-A-C.
Her tenure from back on.
Yeah, it's like that whole thing of getting away from RAC.
I've never heard anybody in this group. Generation of people say anything. I think we should use the RAC because it's why, then we're going to get into a whole side conversation about why change it.
Mm-hmm.
People know us as the RAC whether we like it or not.
So I would just do a whole
five replace.
Same.
Yep.
Right. And that's basically what I did too.
What are you going to do after you pick out where the language needs to be changed? You're going to bring up to the full RAC?
No, I guess when this has got to go to the full RAC, mm-hmm. but if she's just talking about an electronic, then she can go on a computer and do find and replace or something
right.
like that. And just,
but anything we're proposing, is that going to be like
highlighted? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Are we at mission statement?
We're at mission statement. I didn't really see the difference between the mission statement and the goals, they were exactly the same. So this just didn't really appear to be a mission statement to me. It's too long. It primarily outlines what the roles and responsibilities are or the objectives of the organization. I just thought it should be something short and simple.
Mm-hmm. Do you have language?
I do not have any language because I wasn't sure if there was a specific reason why the mission statement and the goals are exactly the same or similar.
So do we simplify the language?
Yeah, you know, it's really funny because I didn't even think about that, but it could be shortened. It seems to me that these goals are more specific
mm-hmm.
than this, but maybe the mission could be more shortened and the goals could be.
Right.
The only thing I changed in the mission statement was Metro Rail / Bus System.
Mm-hmm.
What I said is, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I said those things that start, fifth line, improve the metro rail, metro bus, and metro access systems.
Yeah,
put semicolon.
And we probably stop there.
Right.
From a mission statement.
And right, and you're right. Yes, you're absolutely right. And then, and then kind of collapse this language. So if there's anything up in this rest of this mission statement,
mm-hmm.
put it down here.
Under go.
Mm-hmm, if it's not duplicative.
Mm-hmm.
This sounded totally fine to me, but having now
heard
everything else, I think the thing that surprises me that it's, first it says seek input, and I think the ultimate first mission is to advise the board, and then that's a means to that end.
I kind of agree.
So, I mean, if there's a way to just, you know, to advise the WMATA board on, you know, issues of concern, you know, something I would maybe, but I flip the flavor of it a little bit.
So you're saying the mission of the RAC is to...
What about this? Number one.
Mm-hmm.
What about the mission of the RAC is to advise the board, take it down where you got your hand.
Okay.
Advise the board of directors on operating and budgetary issues that have a direct impact on Metro Rail,
yeah.
Metro Rust, and Metro Access riders. Because that sort of does it all.
That's a mission.
I agree, and that's a mission.
Right.
The rest of this stuff is a little bit more.
Say that again.
It's so you're gonna number one down there below.
You're going to say, you know what would be helpful, Lloyd, when this is presented, and Karen,
mm-hmm.
do put lines in this. You know how when you
divide
by law, put
lines
statement because it'd be easier for people to do. But what we're saying is, to Karen's point and Barbara's point, the mission of the RAC is to, and then you drop down and say one, advise the board of directors. You see where one is,
mm-hmm.
and then just stop it. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
then anything else goes into the goals or
mm-hmm.
objectives or whatever you're going to use.
It would be better if the bylaw is red line, so we know where to follow.
And I think that if we do it this way, I promise you that by, you know, in the next year, I think we can put some strong, some of this is like repetitive.
Right,
and
a lot of it is.
And kind of redundant, you're sort of saying the same thing too,
mm-hmm.
or two different ways. Maybe reduce this.
Right.
You know, yeah, having a goal that supports improvements in service.
What does that mean?
Would we be against them? I'm sorry. I'm going to be serious now.
Okay, are we ready to move on? I think we're ready to go to C, responsibilities.
I only had on point eight. I just, whatever the AAC says their mission is, that's what should be there. I don't know if that's, I mean,
right.
I just don't know if that's fair or not.
Right.
Where are you?
C8. Is that an accurate statement?
And the other thing is, I don't think they use A period C. They use
right.
AAC.
But see, yeah. I think that's left over from the R.
Right,
period.
Right. And it should now be advises the board of directors
yep.
because
yeah.
they now
that's
yeah.
what I'm
report
about.
To the board.
Whatever the current status is what that
yeah.
should say.
And do they collaborate or interact?
Where are you looking?
I'm still on number eight where it says interact
collaborate
with the Metro.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Right, collaborate.
Or eight and nine, collaborate with other advisory groups.
Good
yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yes, yes.
Number 9 is not clear to me.
Well, I was sort of surprised to see that, but I guess that's sort of looking to the future. If WMATA established another advisory group, then we would be automatically, it would be in our bylaws, and we would collaborate with them. That's the way I read it.
So it would be the log writers?
The
log writers? I understand.
Maybe better
youth.
Youth
advisory.
Youth
advisory.
But you know what else I think that covers? Like a staff, say when they come to you with the
yeah.
Fair Gates group.
Yeah.
That's WMATA, not the board of directors.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. WMATA,
so
you're right.
When we establish, say, for example, the signage people.
But you know, this is really good because it has, and we might want to renumber these or reprioritize them.
Mm-hmm.
But it says attend, listen, and speak at community meetings to
mm-hmm.
better, it is interesting
right.
to better learn and
mm-hmm.
represent riders' perspective. Develop a recommendation. I've never heard that term transit zone used any place but in here.
In the compact, that's what they refer to as
zone.
The people that we serve within the transit.
because it's like not necessarily all of certain counties, it's just the part that's sort of by transit.
Okay, are we ready to move on to D? D, yes.
I have one change.
I know.
I have as initiate, line 1, 2, 3, where it says, may send additional reports or recommendations as initiated by the RAC or and/or as requested.
Instead of needed?
Needed by the board.
As initiated.
I mean, what do you all think?
Or requested, just plain requested? Or what are you trying to?
Well, what?
Clarity.
I was trying to say that on a regular schedule as established by the board, to me, that's like the chair's report at the board meeting, right? But it also may send additional reports or recommendations as initiated by the RAC. Like, for example, we're not just waiting for the board to ask us for something, but also, and/or as requested, because sometimes they would maybe ask us for something.
So I'm going to tell you what I would read from that is the RAC going and doing something the board's not seeking advice on.
But see,
that's completely different than whatever the board wants you to do. So if you're initiating on your own without the board, so I would ask something else in consulting with the board or in accordance with, I don't know, some kind of.
But the customer pledge is a good example of something the board didn't ask us to do, but they liked it when we did.
But Tom Downs had always had
that. But I mean, we didn't.
He was always.
But you know what I'm saying? We didn't pluck it out of his head, even if he had it there. So.
And that was the year-end message that we got at the at the executive committee meetings, that at the executive board meeting, that they didn't want us to wait for them to ask for.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily thinking, so when you look at this document, you have to look futuristic in the next 5 years. And remember that this document is going to be alive for the next 5 years. So think about how it would impact when you guys are no longer here. I think that there's a very clear understanding and a very good relationship with the board in this group right now, but that could change from year to year, depending on who's on the leadership. So I think the board is going to be looking for things or flags such as this that will allow the group to sort of be brewing things on their own without, I want to say, without seeking board concurrence.
Now look at the top of page 3, because that last sentence kind of does that to me. The RAC may also provide advice in other areas not within the stated goals or mission of the council after prior consultation. Seems to me that's something different. I couldn't imagine. I mean, I'm befuddling myself. It seems to me that the RAC, under the broad umbrella of an advisory committee to the board, has the right to do things without explicit board approval.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying. As a matter of pragmatism.
You're right.
As a matter of pragmatism, that's where I think we've gone through a lot of trouble to get the board to weigh in, because a good example is fair simplification. No, you know, we came up with the idea, the board liked that idea, a lot of staff liked that idea, so now we're going forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could say that I think I see what you're saying, because in a way, by us coming to the quarterly meeting with those things, that could be prior consultation. But the board is not going to sit either at that meeting or either anywhere else and say, oh, don't do that.
I would say something like concurrence, not even consultation or approval or anything like that, but just leaving it up. And again, just thinking about how the group evolves from year to year or even in the next 3 years. And I'll give you a crazy example. So what if Rat came and decided that, or wanted to provide advice to the board on making all the seats of the trains red? There's nothing here preventing you from that. Do you know what I mean? And I know it's an extreme example, but we've had that kind of extreme leadership that's been sort of way out there
and not in accordance with the board goals or mission or vision for that year.
I guess I see this differently, because this is communication with the board and staff. It's not like we're communicating with the public or...
But this is additional reports or recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But you think that that's why that bylaws is in there, to keep people from going off the ranch?
Yes.
Is what sort of you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was strange, you know, because it almost looks like it was put on there. At the discretion of the committee chair. See, I think that my issue is, and Lloyd and I have discussed this, as we haven't spent so much time, there's a natural tension between the RAC and the board and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost is just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hate to... And I see where you're coming from, but I would hate to think that we could not. When you say may send reports or recommendations as needed by the board, then that speaks of exactly the thing that Ben Ball was talking about in his proposal about having more input into us having more input into the appointees, because it sounds like it's being too controlling. I hear what you're saying, and I don't know how to adjust it in a way to make the board comfortable, the WMATA staff comfortable, and the RAC members comfortable. That's my dilemma. I think that you've got to allow some leeway for the RAC leadership and the RAC as a whole, because there's very little that the RAC, I mean, in looking at these bylaws,
mm-hmm.
there's precious little that even the leadership can do without the concurrence of the RAC.
Right.
It's, you know, the full RAC. That's why I sort of...
So let me ask the question another way. What is it that you... What is it that you're doing, that you're not doing now, that this language will allow you to do?
It's nothing. It's the language itself. The language itself, if you look at this, sounds like everything we do is under the tight control of the board or the staff. And I think there's more... What am I trying to say? Give.
There's more autonomy from you guys now, but again.
No, see, I think there's. How can I put it? I think we've done a better job than I'm aware of, because that's another thing. I'm aware of the fact that until you're on the leadership team, you don't really know a lot of what goes on, you know. But my feeling is that we've. Forged a more collaborative relationship, perhaps more importantly with the staff than the board. I mean, and so, but I don't want to project, because I think it would be off-putting to RAC members, and it sort of goes to your point about when people come on the RAC, they think they can, you know, single-handedly redesign the Silver Line and stuff like that, to feel that they can't do anything unless the board implicitly or explicitly approves it. That's why I want to remove that line. That's why that needed to struck me as something else needed to be said.
It starts to be that way too.
And I think you're right. Because of the fact of the turnover, a lot depends on what the working relationships that are established. I mean, you're right. Somebody else might decide, oh, the hell with all of you, and I'm going to do this, and I don't know. I'm babbling, so let me shut up.
Of course, it's passive voice. It doesn't say that the board said they needed it, just
right.
Decided they needed it. That leaves it to us.
I just think it's a strange phrase. It's very strange.
But again, I think it was in response of situations that had been going on at that point in time, or the immediate previous year or two. That's why I'm saying, you know, having worked on that, on the relationship that you have with the board, you know that working on that, the board's going to trust you to go and do things on your own. So there's nothing in the language now that prevents you from doing that.
Well, what about this then? And may send additional reports and recommendations from time to time or something like that. Or strike that, I mean, or strike that whole thing. We just say the RAC may communicate with the LaMotta Board of Directors and appropriate staff on a regular schedule as established by the board, and may send additional reports or recommendations, and strike that for complete. There seems to be something that's needed, but strike that phrase. Don't even get into as needed or whatever.
Yeah, I think that, you know, everything I've heard from them, that's what they want us to do. They want us to, even if Chairman Downs did not want a pledge of some kind, we get that. And the, when we talked at our committee meetings, we talked about we want to do a couple of things that they've expressed a real interest in, but we also want to do a couple of things that we really feel passionate about. And it might be following, you know, one of the big disasters on everybody evacuates the train. So I think that's an appropriate time that the Writers Council might say, hey, here's something. They didn't ask for it, but we initiated it.
I still feel that that's appropriate, and there would be uncaptured things that wouldn't be.
Right.
I'm also, I just want to make sure that you guys know I'm providing information, but I'm going to put here whatever you guys decide to do.
You use the word that I think may,
appropriate.
What about this? And may send additional reports or recommendations as appropriate. Now that's sufficiently murky.
Right, we're going to do stuff that's appropriate. We're not going to say that we think they ought to.
But I mean, appropriate is going to be something to interpret.
Exactly what I'm talking about. And I know that you guys, it's hard for you to visualize that in a real meeting, but trust me, it has happened in the last eight years.
But see, people are not going to send some missive. You know, to the president. Oh, wait a minute, the board, this bylaws, that's not going to prevent them from doing that.
Which really begs the question of why we're even pouring over into
the
work.
But I think, because the thing is needed implies more of a subject, some kind, I would think
that they have to ask for it before we can do it.
I think appropriate is perfect because it can be interpreted by the board. The ultimate interpretation is the board who appoints us. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they can say that's inappropriate.
So the only other change that I was going to suggest to that is the next sentence where it says a brief report may be made at the beginning of each regular meeting. So I'm just going to take off beginning and just put during.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah. Just because it's not the first, it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't happen at the beginning.
Or just made at each regular meeting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we're moving on to Article 3.
Two maybe.
So we should be done by midnight, perhaps.
Oh, that's funny.
We talked about A. I think we already covered it.
No, I have two. One is on the second line, take the chairman and take the chair. And 18 of the
line 2 chair,
right?
Not chairman,
right? And then I'd say line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I put down here, and I don't know why I did it. Now it is important that the jurisdictional membership reflect a broad representation. I don't know why I said that. Why did I say that?
Well, because the at-larges don't. But that's still true regardless.
Hey, good, I don't know why.
I think it's fine.
Okay, and then that's 6, 7, 8, 9. I think, don't we mean commuter and non-commuter use, or do we? Am I not, that nine?
I read that a lot of times before I figured out what it did mean. I thought they meant people that didn't ride the train, and then I realized, no, the people that aren't just commuters, they're doing it for pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Should that be, should RS be on those, or is
maybe.
There?
I don't
think so. You don't think so? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
And then I put down the last, the next to the last line, I just put, should represent interests not captured by other members, period. And then I put LaMotta instead of Metro, because we were talking about LaMotta employees or elected officials are not eligible for membership on the RAC.
Okay.
Carol, I feel like you have a second change that I didn't capture. So the first one was the chair. What was your second one?
Ignore it.
Right. I talked her out of it.
Yeah, she talked, Pollyanna talked me out of it. next to the last line, I said, interest not captured by other members, period. Because there's a lot of run-on thoughts.
No, I got that.
Did you notice that? You know, right. And then I put WMATA instead of Metro employees or elected officials are not eligible for membership on that. Okay. And I would assume, you know what we don't have here? I would assume the people who work for this, like Muriel Bowser, Judith Glickman as her legislative president. Do we need to say that? It just occurred to me. In other words, it's not merely elected officials, but also you wouldn't put somebody from your office.
So WMATA and WORM and employees in jurisdictions?
All right.
It would have to be like a direct connection, direct staff.
Yeah, let's leave that alone. She reminded me of Carl Seif, I guess.
Yeah.
From the other
I think it's a huge loss to lose him, but it wasn't our fault, it was their fault.
Right.
Senate.
Because that probably would be covered under the broad ethics and conflict of interest, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, D.
I think
D is
fine.
Did you guys have changes to B or suggestions of to B?
To B in terms of office?
Yeah. There was.
A lot of this stuff was like old-fashioned language. I had like, and one-third of the first council, I know you have to put this in even though we're beyond it, shall serve for a three-year term, period. The term shall be selected by lot. I mean, all of which will be, that's an awkward sentence. I mean,
are you in two? Where are you?
One B, it's B, one A.
Right. On the term of office.
So your change is a more grammatical,
let me just give you that. Yeah, let me leave that alone. Okay, let me leave those alone.
Okay.
Or you want to just give them to me and I can make them?
If you can read my language. If you send me the Word document and I can put them in there.
Okay. But before you move though, do you not want to make any changes to B? 1B on the members? Remember the group has had several discussions about people's terms starting in January and other people ending in December, and then you're asked to come to the January meeting and vote for people you don't know.
You're right.
And you have thought.
I did, but I didn't know how to.
I don't know what it would be though.
This is like your opportunity to change it.
Right, but I didn't know how to change it.
To July?
I think that would be awkward because I don't think we should be dependent, because what does WMATA do? I mean, we don't necessarily have to follow in lockstep with what WMATA does, but the bulk of the appointments are made in December, at the December board meeting.
But this is your chance to change.
Right, and I think
but we can't
really
make the board of directors change.
Yes, you can. I mean, they're just changing their appointment. I mean, then the terms would be staggered differently. You can propose, but the terms would be, or you can propose something that your chairmanship runs until, say, March. I don't know, I'm just picking a date. So
that's what I had thought.
March, and then you do your elections for April. I don't know. I'm just being creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that's really important.
It is really important. It's a big change, and it's something that you really have to think about.
Right.
Because you're very familiar with the way that your calendar works.
Mm-hmm.
And to give those new members an opportunity to participate at least a few months before they.
But here's the thing, and I mean, you're right. I wasn't doing this. Okay. I'm assuming that the board members are going to want to continue to make appointments in December.
Right.
So the bulk of the people will come on in January.
Right.
I would say that you could not extend the terms of office beyond March because the problem is, look at where we are now. It's now June and we're really just with a whole lot of special meetings and extra this and extra that, getting stuff off the ground.
That's right.
So the longer you wait,
well, why not vote for the new
chair
and vice chairs in December. And then their appointments start January 1st.
Their appointments is going to end in December and they won't be back in January. You have new members in January. It can't be done up front. It has to be done after.
So, you know, I don't know.
Your chairmanship ran from July to June.
Because then what would, then when would the new chair, I mean, when would the new leadership team get to guide what the work that's done for the year?
Right, and you might, you have all these people that are going to be leaving in 6 months, and so they aren't going to want to, they're going to be just starting, or they not.
I mean, believe me, I try.
I'm just bringing it up.
No, I agree with you, but then when, all of a sudden, because what generally happens as a practical matter is the board makes its appointments in December, unless the board would make its appointments earlier. Back it up so that the board makes its appointments. But see, that's awkward because then you have people who know earlier that they're not going to be reappointed, so they're not going to start come to the remaining meetings in the year.
And even if they're made the appointments earlier, your term doesn't end until December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of awkward to make the appointments in September before a seat that you're holding.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because you know, if I don't get
and that doesn't guarantee that the new members who are appointed will be part of the remaining meetings and be engaged 3 months before their term begins.
But I do think still it makes sense that people who've worked with the other members for a year or two or three would elect the next leadership team rather than the rack that's got a third brand new people. They walk in the door and they get elected. I mean, we could elect in advance and then you'd have a more educated council.
What do you mean? I don't
understand. If we had had the elections for the group in December instead of January, maybe could have been elected and then but have it take effect in January or something so that we could at least get together and organize.
But suppose one of us is.
No, you wouldn't elect somebody who's got one.
Right.
Term.
And you know that by then?
Oh, you're saying we might not. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, because it seems to me.
Because I think I was told in October,
why would you
wasn't
run?
I?
No, why would you run? If you knew your term.
Right.
But I'm saying you may not know, you may know that your term expired, but you might be hoping for reappointment.
If you're even interested in appointment.
But I thought we heard that before December. I thought we heard that.
No. Mm-hmm. Because the board made the appointment.
Okay.
Like,
you could have heard that we made a recommendation, but the board can always decide not to.
Okay.
Right. No, I remember that.
Totally
the board basically made its appointments at the last meeting of the year.
Okay. That's right.
Well, then I don't think I do it.
And what happened is people then sent out their notice of intention or something like that.
In January.
You know, in January. And you almost are saying, you're almost, what you're doing, well, is it the worst thing in the world? What you're really doing is you're preventing anybody brand new from holding an office. They're not going to be a member of the leadership team.
Yeah, they're not.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're not doing is, but in a way, and I think, again, you know, this is anecdotal because it's only happened the first year, I think the emerging leaders then sign on for committee chair, which is not a bad thing.
Do we have a database of people who want to become rep members? Do we have a database of candidates that we can choose in ahead of time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But the board isn't going to... The board makes its appointments in as few meetings as possible. Like, you know, like this last meeting, they appointed, I think, what, 9 members to the AAC.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do an appointment every month. They're going to wait until they got enough of a batch to do it. So actually, believe me, I've thought about this thing, and then I came to the conclusion you almost had no other choice but to do it like you're doing it.
But maybe people like Ben or others in the whole group can come up with a creative way. I just didn't want you to lose sight of that.
Right. Because I think we get off to a slow start when we try to host those elections.
And it's really unfair to the new members
it
to
is.
Come into an election when they know nothing about the people or the group.
Well, they've been fortunate that there's always just one person, so it's an easy vote. But that's not always going to be the case.
Right.
Well,
nobody's ever had an opposition in the two or three.
Well, then when do you think that the leadership team should be elected?
No, I can't come up with a better idea either.
I say December.
You say December.
I do too, but she's saying we might not know who's coming back yet. No matter.
Well, if you're
and
really,
that would have been me. I wouldn't have.
Well, if what you're saying is true, I mean, if what you're saying is true, gee, that was a powerful thing to say.
No, are you lying?
No, if what you said at the outset is true, and the board would maybe back up, mm-hmm. if the board oh. could make the appointments in November, mm-hmm. then you could use
you
the December meeting.
You would narrow those members don't come to December.
Right.
The one
you could use the important. December meeting to say goodbye right. to the departing members, yep. which is always kind of awkward, okay? Mm-hmm. And you could have the elections, mm-hmm. okay? And you and the downside is the new members are shut out from the elections right. because they're not going to take off. They're
right.
going to come in January.
Yeah, but I feel like they would appreciate that.
Yeah, because you're right. Because they're basically yeah. taking on. I mean, you know, I had Frank who acted as my, you know, right. whatever you call it. But I mean, you're sort of taking it on faith that.
No, I acted as Frank.
Oh, that's right. Because
Frank didn't come. Right, that's right. But I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. That I think that would work.
It's really awkward coming on board and voting
yeah.
for a leadership team, which mm-hmm. I know absolutely nothing about.
Right. Okay, so what you're saying is, so what we would have to do is to ask the board to elect members, by, appoint new members by November. We would have the elections in December. Mm-hmm. And I even, well, when you get to committees, I even thought about, you know, establishing a nominating committee, because maybe you don't even need that. But just let people do what, you know, in some organizations, the leadership team serves as a nominating committee.
Right.
Sometimes it's awkward because
right.
you're
right.
the,
yeah.
the best of
but you would do your leadership elections in December and then your committee in January.
Yeah, because as I said, yeah. I think what happens is, I think that the people who are the future leadership team step up and take those committee positions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, so thank you for making us do that.
I have something to see for you to think about. So it talks about the seat held by the chair of the AAC.
Where are you? What page?
Right below B. So what is that?
What page? I'm so.
This is it's still members, one seat. So right below what we were just talking about. We're talking often
oh,
only
okay.
one third of the membership.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
then it addresses the chair of the AAC,
right.
and it says, for the purposes of this session, be deemed to have expired at the close of every third year. So I can ask the lawyers, but my concern is that Patrick hasn't served for
mm-hmm.
more than 12 years. Do you want to add a provision that allows him to continue to serve on the RAC?
Hmm, that's an interesting thing.
Because when he's 12, and I know this is not, it's not an issue, it hasn't been an issue yet because the RAC hasn't been around for 12 years, but it will in this next 5 years. You know what I mean?
I thought that somewhere it talked about he's not, I thought he was exempt from the term limits.
Well, but this one, that's not what it says.
Okay,
I think you're looking at number two. Right B.
Underneath that.
B2.
Where it says members may be considered, then it says no person should serve on the RAC for more than four complete terms with the exception of the chair of the AAC, who shall not be so limited.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen if we took, why do we have to say anything in C about the chair of the AAC if he's basically not limited to terms
okay.
on the rack?
So I think the question is, why is there this language here?
Right.
Can we
just take either, yeah, take that out?
Yep.
And that solves the problem, does it not?
I'm trying to figure out what that paragraph means.
No, I think that what happens is, this has obviously been done by committee, but I mean, in other words, I think language was put in, mm-hmm. and then somebody didn't go through it, and I guess it was us with the governor's work, we didn't go through it with a fine tooth comb to see if anything else should change as a result of the changes we were honing in on. Because we didn't think about that, but to me...
So can I move the first sentence to B and then delete C, the rest of C? Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it says optimally one.
Yeah, I think those could go together.
Right, so I can move that to mm-hmm. after council mm-hmm. and then delete the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Now, resignation.
Number two. The second sentence, the selected classes should consider the value of retaining some historical memory as well as the value of new ideas. Maybe it needs to be reworded.
To say what?
Like, the selected classes were based on candidate interest, area of interest, something.
But it's not. I don't think they are. I mean, I think, to me, what this section means is that they're going to retain some people by reappointment, and they want to have some new blood. So they want to have a mix of older, not old, they want to have a mix of people who have been members for a while and a mix of brand new people. That's all that means, because it's not really a selection by people's area of interest.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my understanding. It's not the candidate's area of interest. It's like, it's the whether you represent a certain demographic, like do you ride the metro, how many, I imagine with the 21 people, you want to have some people who ride the red line, some people who ride the yellow line, some people who are like me, retired, but don't, you know, some people who don't do a work commute and stuff like that. I think it's more that.
Yeah. And it talks about like a broad array of ages, genders, races, disabilities, commute patterns, non-commute use, hours, days of the week, also balance between bus riders and rail riders and all that, so yeah. Okay.
Now, does that answer your question? I guess I should be letting Karen.
I think we want to talk about what kind of information you want to get from candidates. I think it needs to be reworded.
I don't think that, I mean, I think we had sort of discussed that earlier, that it really is up to the board to decide what kind of, I mean, where the board is reading.
Who wrote the bylaw? Did the REC write the bylaw in 2005?
They're approved by the board.
The REC initiates the bylaw and approved by the board.
So you submit. What happens is the RAC submits a red line copy, and then the board gets to make further changes or strike out your changes, and then they vote and approve it.
Did they write the original one?
Yes.
The board or the
board RAC wrote
the staff. The staff wrote the original.
Yeah, there was no RAC. Yeah. The bylaws were first, and then came the RAC. There was no RAC to write the bylaws.
No, I know that, but so it wasn't the board that wrote it. It was the staff.
Yeah, and then but the board approved them.
Oh, yeah.
But my concern is that suppose the new candidate is going to read by law, if they understand the sentence, would they be able to understand what it means? It looks like the language is a little bit too high. Need to be reworded. Simplify.
Okay. Karen will do that.
That's how
I'm going to be. I heard you, so I'll try to come up with some language and I'll email you.
Are we down to resignation?
Mm-hmm.
This is always seems to be a question, and by the way, put a pin in it. If James Wright does not show up.
Oh, here we go again.
Carol, it's 8.
I am going to put that, my item from last month on the agenda. I don't care what you all
you
think.
You mean you're going to make a motion to...
Right, after I slug it.
...agenda and take a vote.
Right, right, exactly. Okay, but seriously, I would like to change this to say, members may resign by submitting a written, may resign by submitting a written resignation to the WMATA Board of Directors through the RAC staff coordinator, because that always seems to be confusing. Who do they send the letter, you know?
Okay.
Is there a specific time for signing? Where I had to put it? Should we submit a letter of recognition 2 weeks before or a month?
You know what? That's a good point. We should put here as soon as they know of their inability to serve.
Excellent. As soon as they become aware of it. Excellent. Yeah.
Now, remember, it says here they may.
Right.
They may resign.
Well, maybe what we should say should or shall. You think shall?
That's what we have here throughout.
Okay, shall resign by
submitting
a written resignation. God, I hate to use the same words, but I can't think of anything better. To the WMATA Board of Directors through the staff coordinator as soon as they become aware. Okay. What did you just say?
Inability of.
Of their
service?
Yeah, inability to continue to serve.
And not after they miss.
Not 3 months later when Carol has added them to the agenda.
Oh, we won't put that in. I'm sorry. This is the only way I can tolerate this, you guys.
Okay. And I thought that I thought the midterm vacancy should be before resignation, so I just flipped those.
Okay, so C and D.
To me.
Well, I think you have them because somebody resigned. seriously, chronologically, somebody resigned,
therefore
there's a midterm vacancy.
Yeah. I swear, can I just need to ask them? You got any more on four? I just wanted to consolidate this stuff. I mean, it seems like a lot of, like, why do we have Article 3 membership and then Article 4 termination of membership? It seems like it could all flow in one long lettering system. But I changed the order. I put number one at the time. I put two as number one, the material representation. And I put...
Flip one and two, is that right?
No. I'm saying in Article 4, I want to combine the whole membership thing, when you do that, I want to reorder it and say that the first reason for termination would be material misrepresentation, which is two. Then for two, I would use refuse to execute is number four, Varieties Council's standards of conduct. Then three, engaged in a consistent pattern of disruptive behavior, and four, intended no meetings, because as much as it makes me crazy, I think those are more important in the scheme of things, material representation, misrepresentation, standards of conduct, disruptive behavior, and then the attendance, but that's just me.
So maybe one goes to the end.
Yeah, that would be what I would do.
Okay.
You mean termination membership would go under Article number 3?
Well, I hadn't kept up with it, but I'm just simply saying we don't need to have two articles, one devoted to membership and another devoted to termination of membership.
So we're getting rid of Article 4 and combining it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Article 5, what the heck do I have here? I put down B, vice chairs, with an S on the end, and line two under that vice chairs, the V comes out.
Right.
Wait, say that last thing?
Line two under vice chairs, which should be an S, V comes out, and it says from B, its membership. It looks like a, you know, rotten cut word. Yeah, face. Yeah.
Well, it's from the its membership. You just don't need all those. See, yours doesn't look anything like ours here.
Yeah.
The membership.
Yeah, because I think she converted her V.
its membership. And I think that we should take out one of those comments up there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think we want to eliminate the article.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else she's saying.
No, that was it.
Oh.
And then on page six, now, again, a minute, the last
Wait,
halfway
are
done.
Are you not going to do anything to the language about the current WMATA Board of Directors chair and the vice chair from the corresponding jurisdiction and all that? I thought you wanted to do something there.
I think she was just getting this sick. That's
it. Here. Oh yeah, this is where we began, right?
Mm-hmm. But I don't have any.
I don't think we figured it out.
We said it should mirror the board.
Right.
And then but once we can't mirror the board.
Maybe it would just be clear if it does say in the last two words, acting capacity, and I guess it's until that.
Right, and that's what I left it. I put until the vacancy can be filled.
Can I make a recommendation?
Please.
Should Article 5 officers go under Article 3? I'm binding. Membership go under membership and paragraph A.
I personally think officers should go in a separate thing because it's now going to become Article 4.
Article 5, move chair, vice chair, move under Article 3, under A section.
What A section? Under membership?
On page 3.
A3.
Under membership. She's saying to move the officer's piece under membership.
I think an officer should be its own separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think our offices need to be its own separate thing. And we could just put a big fat question mark and figure out. We still haven't gotten that settled.
But now that we know it's only for a few weeks,
right?
It's not as big a deal. You could do it. You could draw straws for, as far as I'm concerned, for 2 weeks.
Well, you know what? You could do. There is another. I mean, down here when they first decided on something about rotation of terms, we could say shall be considered members. That's not a bad idea. Where is it?
Well, I wasn't really suggesting we draw straws.
Well, you won't say draw straws by lot. That sounds so much better.
Is that what that meant?
Yeah,
I didn't know
that's
what that
it is.
Meant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think somebody should say, I think it should be the person that hates the idea the least.
What do you think?
Think about
you,
it
let me see if I can come up with some language
okay.
that will mirror that, and then you guys can figure out.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And I think that the other thing has been taken care of because down here I have under failure to elect. I just put if the chair's appointment has ended, the provisions of Article 5B, and I don't know what the hell that was, prevail, but. We may not need anything like that if we're going to. We shouldn't have a situation like we had with Kelsey before, where her term ended before
mm-hmm.
January.
Okay. And under elections, C4, we just need to propose December.
Okay.
We've addressed it previously, but we need to address it. Again,
okay, election of officers
mm-hmm.
occur
final regular meeting,
right.
Yeah, or the December meeting, or whatever it wants to.
The last meeting of the year?
Are we going to say that? Yeah. Last regular meeting of the year?
Say that, yeah.
Last regular meeting of the year.
And under eligibility, we talk about the position of chair, but we don't discuss the vice chair positions. So we say chair should be elected without regard to jurisdiction of residence, but there's no discussion here about the vice chair.
That's right.
Because they are elected with regard to jurisdiction.
You should probably say it.
Oh, it doesn't say that.
Right, there should be, yeah, as a matter of fact, there's good language maybe down below.
It's just under, it's the first sentence of B, isn't it? The membership shall annually elect vice chair for its membership to represent each of the three signatory jurisdictions. That kind of talks about the eligibility of vice chair.
Yeah, but I think you're right.
I think we need it here, too.
Yeah, put it there, too. You see that, Laura?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Because a lot of times when people are looking, they're not reading cover to run by line.
Exactly, you can go right to this section and you know.
On those many occasions when they're reading.
Like reading the bylaws. I actually like that. I've been on several bylaws.
Talk about me being Pollyanna.
I really like bylaws revisions. I've been on a lot of them. Okay. I had a few changes, but I think, here's what I did with this section, I call it RAC staff support. And I divided into, and I don't have exact language, but I divided into recruit duties. I said the board should designate a person to serve as a RAC staff coordinator. But, and then I basically talked about recruitment duties and then other support. And under other support, I put the website stuff. Because, you know, to me, that was sort of a strange addendum at the end of the paragraph. But I wanted to take these two paragraphs, which contain a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's one big long paragraph, mm-hmm. and divide it into the recruitment of staff coordinator and duties of staff coordinator.
Can I say you can add the duties and responsibility under RAC staff support?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to give me exactly that language?
Yeah, if you send me the, if you email me the Word version, because
no,
it's a
conflict of interest.
Well,
you update this
No, I'm just going to put my, I mean,
all right.
Basically all fine. I'm saying, it's just too dense. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're also going to have some suggested change, Carol, to the language that talks about the hiring committee composed of up to three members,
mm-hmm.
one from each.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had brought that up to council before we did this,
mm-hmm.
there was something there that does not match because it talks to up to three, but then it says it has to be one from each jurisdiction. So we have to address it either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have suggested language, but just so you know, we're going to try to make it.
And you know,
it
it's really
sense.
Funny when you compare the specificity and the amount of democracy
that's
implied by this section
mm-hmm.
and going back to the section about sort of the board wanting to throw everything we do or say, you know, it's really funny because, you know, the chair isn't even, if you recall from that meeting, it was obvious that most of the people weren't that, didn't care. I mean,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah, so please, take it.
You know, they're probably willing to let us do it. But it was, but it really requires not only that you have somebody, but it had to be voted upon by the full RAC. I mean, you can't, mm-hmm. the chair can't just decide or the leadership team just can't decide.
Right.
Okay. And see, to me, this thing about other support, and I'm just going to, you know, I'll send it out to everybody, because is, to me, it's kind of strange. It says to take all necessary steps within a reasonable time, but we have talked somewhere else about we want this stuff within 72 hours. I mean, I'm trying to think of what would we post there. Well, yeah, we could post other things.
The direct staff supposed to aid employee, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we meeting so it's going?
I basically, I just didn't write out the thing. If you send it to me in Word, I'll send it back to you.
Okay.
Everything else that I have personally up until page 9, the agenda, minutes, and rules of conduct, is all just editing to the RAC, you know, changing Rogers Council to RAC.
Right. I don't have any more comments.
Nothing
on the rest of this. I thought it was pretty
Do you want to include anything here about an August recess so that it doesn't pick up?
Okay.
I
she does. I don't.
Okay.
No. That doesn't mean we can't.
No, you know why? Because I think that it's something that should be voted upon. I mean, in other words, since we can vote for any meeting, just leave it, you know. I'm not bringing that up again.
I had to tell you that I didn't support it when you asked me to make the motion.
Right.
Well, you might pick somebody that's in favor of it. I had questions about in the middle of our, what's on the paper is section Article 6 meetings, 72 hours prior.
Yeah, I see.
An agenda must be posted. So we're talking website?
Online, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say distributed. It's distributed, fully posted on page 8 here.
8. This is aimed to the public, not
that's
to the members
the public
of the RAC.
Okay, so that's why the thing in, on the next page says that the Writers Council staff liaison will normally mail to members 1 week prior.
Where do you see that? Because we definitely need to get rid of that.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of 9. Number 2 on 9.
Oh, you're right. I did get, yeah. I have agenda materials will be distributed to members at least 72 hours.
Article 7.
A2. And I have, I'm sorry, I have the RAC staff coordinator shall be responsible for distributing the filing agenda and preparing or compiling the associated materials for each meeting. Agenda materials will be distributed to members 72 hours prior, at least 72 hours. It should seem to me to be the same thing as the public, because why would you have the, would you agree?
It was just because they both had to do times. There's this 1 week, and you were saying 72
hours. What is 72 hours?
3 days.
3 days.
Yeah, I had three business. Do we want to say three business days?
Is that after the RAC meeting? 72 hours after the RAC meeting?
No, before the RAC meeting. Before the RAC.
That would be 3 business days is Wednesday, right?
Well, before Wednesday, it would be Friday.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Whereas 3 days would be Sunday.
Well, do we count business? See, to me, usually you don't count. So we
right,
don't.
Yeah.
So
I think that's how John currently does it, 72 hours prior to the RAC meeting.
I know we gotta, I'm gonna really lose all importance.
There goes, she gets the Pollyanna award.
You're right, you're right. I'm sorry, but you have to relinquish, you have to relinquish your wah.
Oh,
I'm sorry, that was
yeah,
very unprofessional.
Oh, that's not, oh, my
goodness. So it's a mistake.
3 business days prior to each meeting?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay.
And then what I did was, and do we agree distributed? Because to me,
right,
distributed means
yeah,
distributed by email. Okay. I actually added a section on here, and I called it governance. And instead of wherever it is, oh, right. Or maybe it doesn't have to, instead of rule of conduct, maybe it could go there. I said, shall be conducted in accordance with these bylaws and with the most current edition of Robert's Rules of Order. Okay, and then I put, the RAC may also establish operating procedures, and these procedures should be reviewed, revised, and adopted annually soon after the election of officers.
Mm.
Okay.
So they, I understand the desire for the operational procedures, but do they need to be approved every year? I mean, why?
Well, I was again copying off what I thought WMATA did, which is
the
board has operating procedures, which it looks at, I guess, every year and approves every year and makes some modifications on. That's, I was sort of thinking, because that gives each new board a chance to do, I mean, each new leadership team a chance to do things the way they want to do them.
Like the ground laws.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ground rules.
Yeah.
So it gives
yeah,
you that opportunity
that's
to
right,
update
okay,
them as well.
So that really would be your procedures.
Right.
Right. Right. And then the other thing I have under chair responsibility, I have the RAC chair is responsible for the orderly, second sentence under the following rules will be followed. Every member, I have every member and member of the public desiring to speak.
Yeah.
Do you all agree down there?
Every member and the public?
Yeah.
Every RAC member and...
Member of the board.
Yeah, you're saying that everybody addresses you.
Yeah.
It stays on subject.
Well, but they don't address you, they fill out a form prior to.
Oh, yeah, this makes it like you recognize them, they say, "I want to talk."
Like, they can just address you from the floor while you're conducting your meeting, and you don't necessarily want that.
Yeah, that's, this is...
Okay, but should there be anything in here about the public?
A reference about the public, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we just refer to the public? Well, I don't know, do we incorporate the public thing in here?
Yeah, I can include the procedures for the public comment.
Good. But I think we could say that, you know, the chair has the discretion, because I've seen this occur. The chair has the discretion to accept comments from members of the public, even when they've not, you know, even if they've not had time or didn't, well, yeah, something allows that.
I'd like to add to this paragraph that the chair will recognize people, that even the ones that sit next to her.
You're right.
That seems to be a problem.
Yes, it definitely is. I'm gonna get some of those
out of her peripheral vision.
I'm not gonna lie, my vision is really shut.
Oh, well.
That's funny. Okay. Oh, and then this is really the bitter end of this. I don't think I don't have anything else.
No, I have the top of 10. What do you have anything?
Yeah.
I kept reading this over and over, this 2A. Representation of positions on issues shall conform to the following principles. No member of the Writers' Council misrepresent the position of the council.
I think they mean shall.
Shall, right. Thank you.
And to tell you the truth, now, I brought the famous media relations protocol because I was thinking this is the time to incorporate.
Yeah.
I found this difficult to incorporate because it was more of a flowing philosophical thing. I mean, not to say that we couldn't, but I'm almost thinking that maybe this should come up. I want to leave this alone, even though I don't know what to do with it.
I don't know. I think...
You don't think it says anything different than what's in here?
I think this is just more detailed, and this is...
Okay.
Well, but nowhere in there is the word media contact.
But it does say, no member of the RAC shall be seen as representing any position of Metro, including the media, without first having been so authorized by
the board.
I'm on 2B.
Board of directors. Should it say board of directors or the media people or whatever that means?
No, see, I think it has to say board of directors, because that's really the only people who really have any control over what we do.
Okay.
So.
But that thing says we need to go to the media people.
I know, but it was handed to us by the chair of the board.
Right, by the chair. Yeah.
When Mr. Frank was vice chair, he used to be vice chair, he was giving a media talk. So how did he get that? Did he get a permission from the board director to talk to the media? Remember Frank, he was talking to the media about 3 years ago.
I don't remember.
But this is talking about representing a position of Metro, not of the RAC.
But A talks about
the... Yeah, A talks about the RAC. But I was surprised to CC that it says you can talk as your own self to the media on any topic that I choose to address. Which is true. I'm a member of the public.
I don't know. I think it really covers that policy.
I mean, even like the policy that I have, and in other words, even he says, this is consistent with the Writers Advisory Council bylaws, Article 7, Section C2. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to quote it. And so, you know, I don't really want to open up this can of worms, to be honest, although I will if necessary. I almost feel like this almost goes in the ground rules if we had to put it somewhere.
I agree with you.
Because it's
and if the board wants to add something, they will pick up.
The reason I almost want to let it lay is because it's just going to stir up a hornet's nest that we don't have time to deal with. And I'm sorry, fight with me, argue with me if I'm being too pragmatic to be, you know, because there are people who care about this, but I'm not one of them. I mean, because maybe I'm not a sexy enough demographic, but I mean, I've had some media contacts, and they've all been either they call, you know, I had enough time to prepare, you know, first of all, I'm not going to answer anything without some kind of preparation. So I haven't had any problem contacting people, you know, contacting the media relations office or something like that, but nobody's really put me on the spot. Well, nobody in the major media has really put me
on the spot. Nobody from the Post. That's the only major.
And I think for the most part, you go through our RAC coordinator to address 2B, so we're not going to go directly to the board of directors anyway.
Well, besides this is
our RAC coordinator. So I don't know if it's important to put special emphasis that we should reach out to the media affairs office, because that's a given.
I'm not getting what you're saying.
On 2B, that last sentence where it says, first having been so authorized by the board of directors, and Barbara at one point suggested that perhaps we put and the Office of Media Relations. That's what the office is called.
But you know, that was before I realized it had Metro. We're not representing any position of Metro. Like, we're not saying, well, Metro doesn't want to do that. You know, that's a very...
This is really very interesting if you really read this, because it says it is important, you know, it is important that all media inquiries to the WMATA RAC be coordinated with the board through the secretary's office. So, yeah, and with advanced knowledge of and direction from WMATA's Office of Media Relations. So my thinking is, it's up to LOIDA to contact the, I mean, if I read, know what I mean?
Okay.
So I'm just really looking at this really now.
I thought they were switching it from the conversation we had that day. They were switching it from going to John and that we would actually go to the media office, because they thought it was inconsistent that we were, everybody else goes through the media office.
Well, actually, you know what? Is not really crystal clear, because the bottom half, you know, it says to ensure that the process for RAC members conforms to the process used by the WMATA board, the protocol. See, protocol implies like the ground rules, you know.
Right.
But it basically says if we receive an inquiry requesting that we speak or comment, we should notify the Office of Media Relations. Now, that's true. It basically says that we're supposed to notify the Office of Media Relations prior to speaking with the report.
And see, I think this is something that should be addressed during orientation anyway, right, every year. So I think it's a great document. I think it's addressed in the bylaws.
Yeah, I'm inclined, because this is no way of getting, you know. I see what you're saying, though, but to me, our authority derives solely from the WMATA Board of Directors. So I can't see changing it to that. And this is just too cumbersome to be in a bylaw. Mm-hmm. So you could get another board, chair of the board or something like that, who decides, oh, I don't care who you all talk to, which is unlikely, though.
Very.
Okay. Was that...
But I had one comment under committees, and it's paragraph 1, 2, 3, and it says all committees shall expire at the beginning of the first general meeting, and I thought it was the last meeting of the year. I didn't realize the committees expired at the first meeting of the year.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that makes sense, though, because that's when the new people come, you know what I mean? Right? That's when you make your elections. So it expires then.
If they expired in the December meeting, it's like the 1st of December. I think it's okay.
But see, now this is one of the areas that I did do some work on, and I wanted to establish standing committees.
Mm-hmm.
And the standing committees I suggested were budget and finance, governance. And the other committees would be established as they align with current priorities of the RAC. But I think that it makes sense to have a budget and finance committee. That's a standing committee, and I think it makes sense to have a governance committee that's a standing committee, because things are going to come up during the course of the year that you sort of need that. And I think it's fine if we say the governance committee is comprised of the RAC leadership, you know, team. I think that's another fun thing to do. But mm-hmm. I think all other committees, I don't know if I wouldn't say that they should. I think they should be. Maybe to discipline ourselves a little bit more, maybe we should say, if we're going to have elections in December, new people coming on in January, let's say an orientation in February, maybe March should be established by no later than March or something like that, or do you want to get that specific?
I was thinking that the committee should probably align with the elections, and it should be established in advance. Because I think in January, you really want to work on what's your work plan.
Okay. But remember that you have new members coming in January, so you can't establish them in December.
You can maybe establish the topics to some
right.
membership of
right.
them.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
But
yeah.
What's the harm in establishing them before?
Yeah.
I agree with you.
What value do new, I don't want to say that, but I don't know if the new member's going to be able to add much value to it, and you have that historical knowledge moving forward.
Yep.
So just bring some consistency. Mm-hmm. I think we spend way too many months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Trying to figure things out. And I think for new members, just to be able to jump right in.
These are the communities, which one are you interested in?
Exactly. Jump right in. Let's get work done.
So you want to add language along those lines?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yep.
The other thing that I think would be nice to add is orientation.
Yeah.
I think that we need to have it in the very beginning.
Really
Maybe even before the first meeting. I don't know, but
we can do that.
It's Come not on. Fair for the committee members to wait until March and April. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I ask for some clarification on that? So our office, historically took care of that and addressed the orientation.
See, we didn't know. See, and that.
But
go on.
What was the difference this year? Because what I heard from John is that you wanted to sort of take that over and have the committee do that as opposed to us. Because you know we were moving forward to schedule it, and then I kind of heard, well, we're not. They don't want to do it that way. Which is fine with me, but if it's not serving the purpose that we need to, then we can...
Well, I agree with Karen, and I think that's one of the reasons. The government, what I think needs to happen, well, I'm balanced in terms. Okay. In the 8 years that I've been a member of the RAC or whatever, I can only remember having what I consider two orientations. One orientation, which John conducted, and pretty much they might have gotten some input from people, but he basically conducted it, and it gave you a lot of materials, et cetera, et cetera. The second orientation we had when he did went through the website and did a shortened version of this, but it still didn't seem to address everything that people needed to do. And so what I wanted was trying to do, and that's the committee that never got off the ground, is have an orientation team comprised of, that was another way of bringing new members into the fold,
mm-hmm.
giving them something important to do, to feel like they were doing it. I think it needs to be a collaborative effort.
Okay.
But I think we might have solved some of this problem, because by having elections in December, by having committee structures already established,
yeah.
so we
yeah.
don't have to spend
yeah.
one, two, three meetings doing that, by saying the ground rules are going to be,
yeah.
you know, pretty much in a, you know, looked at.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll have a running start. The one thing I picked up from the AAC meeting, I think I talked to you about already, was they basically were talking about doing bios of all the committee
mm-hmm.
members, so you
yeah.
have that coming in.
Right.
And as I
right.
said, you can have the appointees
right.
do it, you know,
right.
so you don't have to do all that, right?
Bios of our committee members?
Bios
of everybody
the
on the RAC.
RAC.
Okay.
You know, so you have some idea of what their skills, you know, so everybody can have that piece of information
mm-hmm.
exchange
yeah.
and maybe have a standing set of
mm-hmm.
orientation things ready and available
right.
when people come in the door.
Like a book or something.
Yeah.
Did we do anything except for calm downs?
Well, as I said, we've had, since I've been on the RAC, we've had it two times, but it's never, it's not been a standing part of the process on either side. I mean, you know, it's never been, we're going to get this done. And then I think the other thing is everybody should be invited to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I
mean, the ideal thing would be to be able to have like a retreat that wouldn't count as a meeting where people would just sort of say, we're going to take this day to get acquainted with every, you know, crowd.
Meet and greet, right. Have a quick orientation, welcome to Metro. If you don't get that warm welcome, you're just thrown in here, you don't know who the people are here, and it's just really weird. Considering I'm, you know, this is my second year here, so this year's orientation was even weirder. So. Okay. It just seems like disorganized. I mean, you want to value people that are volunteering your time, so give them the resources and tools that they need when they first come on board.
Mm-hmm. So what are we going to write about that? Do you want to do it in January? Do we schedule an orientation every January, every February?
That would be
I would say January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's a book, something.
And yeah, right.
So, but who's going to give me input as to what you want in a book, so that it's not staff-driven? Do you want me to give you a proposal and then you react to that? Do you want to give me a list?
I think that what would really be good is to get members to give you...
Didn't they all raise their hand and say they want to be...
Well, we had several people who wanted to be on it, but then, you know, events overtook us, so it was like we didn't have it. But I think it needs to be what the people feel would be. I think it needs to be a combination of what you all think you need to know and what people think they need to know coming in the door.
Right. Conflict of interest form.
Right.
Yeah. The ethics form, all that stuff we should get when we first come on board.
Okay, I think that what would be good is maybe...
I'll give you an outline and have you react to it?
You think that's
a
good idea?
That was past the answer. This fits within, I think, the governance.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking that the governance committee could be
the orient. Through the committee.
Right, I think the governance committee, I think the, you know, which is really the RAC leadership team.
Right.
I think we should basically say, these are, go out and find out from people, what do they want?
Yep.
What do they need to really feel like they can function from day one or as close to it as possible?
Okay.
Right, or at least provide what we think should come in an orientation package and ask them to provide input.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if you're new, you don't really know what you need.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. You don't
need
know
something.
You know you need something to show.
Right.
Okay.
Question. Is this a question? Do we put better need accommodation on bylaws?
Do we what?
Better need accommodation.
That's a very good point. What's we have it in the ground rules.
What's that?
Special needs. What do you mean specifically? Let me not assume what I think you mean.
If somebody needs better need accommodation, they request, how do we make a request?
Mm.
And how long should they make a request before the
occupation
provide one?
That's in the ground rules because of you, and I'll be out, because it was an education for me. I just was not thinking. In other words, I talked to John, and I think he said he needs 48 days, whatever is in the ground rules, in order to request whatever interpreter services, et cetera.
I haven't seen my kids.
You can keep this.
Okay.
Can I ask you something before you go? Are you going to give an update on this at the RAC meeting? Do you need all these documents by tomorrow?
I don't think we have enough time. And I think the agenda is relatively full. What do you think, Carol?
I just want to make sure I know how much time I have to produce something for you. Can I give you something after the RAC meeting next week?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? This will be the subject of our June 9th RAC leadership team call. Let us go over it one more time before we present it to the... Is that agreeable?
Yeah, definitely.
June 5. So can I give you this June 5?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay.
So do you want me to email you my comments? Is that easier if we all email you the comments we captured?
Well, I just know of everything except for whatever Carol didn't give me.
Okay.
But if you want to email me your stuff,
I'll just email you and
that's
just
fine.
In case.
Before you submit the comments, I wonder if you can be redlined. Is that too much?
Redlined.
Yeah, that's what we're going
to
do.
We're going to add numbers to each
sentence,
yep.
so it's
yep.
easy to follow it, so yes.
And it's going to be redlined.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Thank you very much. Oh, listen, no, I'm sure.
I was in a hospital like all night long with my father yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. So. I mean, is he has an illness or?
Well, yeah, that's what I told you. Mm. He has prostate and liver cancer.
Oh,
but he broke his leg 6 months ago and then rebroke it a week ago.
Wow.
So he said,
is that because of medication?
Medication.
Oh, does this mean you recorded all my wisecracks?
Yeah.
And what you just said too.
Yeah.